Last week I started a lesson, The Men of Your Church. And when God created Adam, when God created Adam, the Bible tells us that he created man in his own image. And down through the ages, as is revealed in the scriptures, God has made man, the male species of mankind, to bear the chief responsibilities in the world. Now, I know the day in which we're living, I understand what is politically correct when it comes to the male, female, the man, woman status. And I have no problem with women getting equal pay for what a man does. I have no problem for women not being overlooked, for example, in the workplace when it comes time for promotion just because they're a woman. I'm all in favor of that sort of thing, but I'm looking at this from a biblical perspective with a world view. And in the world view, man has the chief responsibility to lead, to provide, and to protect. Now, that doesn't mean that there are areas that I just mentioned that a woman cannot do, but man has been given that responsibility. There are pressures and tensions, for example, in the home, that a man is equipped and built to bear. Now, I understand there are some men that might be a wimp, okay? And he falls apart, he goes to pieces when any kind of pressure is there. And he's got a woman that's strong in character and disposition, and she's able to step in and rescue the guy. Okay, I understand there's always exceptions. I mean, I'm not in favor of man being the ogre that he can be, and many that are, who misuse that authority and that leadership. And man has responsibility, but that responsibility is misused when he takes his authority and uses it to mistreat a woman or the children, whatever. And so, I'm just saying those things so you know where I'm coming from. I would expect that you would think that, but I just won't make it clear.
Right.
Now, last week I talked about the fact that man is responsible for his personal salvation. He cannot default to his wife or his girlfriend or to any other woman he figures, you know, they'll get enough religion for the both of us. Doesn't work that way. You have to personally get saved, and I know you know that. I understand that you're aware of that. And man is responsible for his personal holiness. And he ought to set the example of godliness in the family. Now listen, all of our young people left, so this, I should have said this earlier. If you're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, okay, you find a fellow, it'd be a girl looking for a boyfriend, and look, you find somebody that is at least, on the same spiritual level that you are.
That's right.
The preference is that he is ahead of you spiritually. Because how is he going to lead you if he is not at least as spiritual as you are? If he's under you spiritually, then how in the world is a girl going to be able to follow him? Now, that would apply to us as husbands. We need to be ahead of our wife. Now, there's no doubt about it. Even as I speak that, and my wife was able to make it for Sunday school, and we ought to celebrate. This is unusual. But anyway, there are some areas where she is so ahead of me in spiritual life, it's a challenge to me. It's a rebuke to me in those areas. I understand that in a marital relationship, that sort of thing can exist. But in general, overall, the husband needs to be on top of the wife so that he can lead her. How again can a man lead his wife if he's behind her? The most he can do is push her. And that's what a lot of men do, okay? They're behind their wife, and I'm for you. I'll let the little woman take care of things. And he's just sort of like pushing her. I'm helping you, dear, pushing her. That doesn't work, okay? That doesn't work. That talked about that last week. Talked about that with family and that husbands, men are not to provoke the children. Colossians says, don't cause them to have anger. Us male species can have a problem with that. Thank God for the men who don't have a problem with that. But it just seems like men, there's a reason why often the boys side to the mother and the girls side to the father. Okay, that's often the way it goes. Not always, but often that's the way it goes. And because I don't know what it is that we expect from our boys, what it is that we, what they should have done that they didn't do that caused us to get on their case and ride them hard, and they'll understand. And when they don't follow or when they resist, then we'll just increase that. What isn't working? We'll just increase it. It's not stupidity. What is ignorance? And that is, if you're beating your head against a wall and it doesn't work to knock the wall over, keep beating it. Okay? And so it is. When something's not going right in a relationship, We ought to be smart enough to step back and say, what am I not doing right?
Yes, sir, that's good. Right.
Now, it takes a man bigger than me to do that. Because when things didn't go as they ought to go, I knew that the certain solution was just give them more of what hasn't worked. Now, I'm thankful, and I suspect there may be some other men here. I'm thankful for my wife, because had she not been what she has, I don't know where our kids would be. But today, they're all serving the Lord. They're all living for Him. Now, I didn't abuse the kids. I didn't mistreat the kids. I was there, but I wasn't there in the way that I should have been. And you'll live with a regret that you can never erase.
Amen.
You can never erase it. And just about the time you think you've dealt with it, it'll come back on you. And so, please, young men, heed what I'm saying. You will be the wiser and you will be the better. Now, with that said, let's to help give some perspective to it. In 2 weeks, my son is flying in. He's going to help me build a shed, a storage shed. And they don't give them airplane tickets away.
No.
But he's buying an airplane ticket to fly from Kansas to Buffalo. He's gonna be here. We pick him up Monday night. We take him back Saturday morning. And he's going to be here to help build. He'll be here Wednesday night.
Amen.
Fortunate for him, he gets to hear his dad preach. And so, but You know, men, as far as the family goes, don't provoke them. And then Ephesians 5:25. I've got to turn there. Ephesians 5:25, if you would. I got this new Bible, and so knowing how many pages to turn to get to a place is something I'm still learning. All right, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, let me start in verse 24. See verse 24? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, there's a lot of verses men don't know in the Bible, but I think probably most men know that one. Wives, submit to your husband in everything. Oh, you say, I don't know the Bible, but I think the Bible tells you you ought to do what I want, because it tells you you ought to submit. I heard one preacher say one time, a woman won't have any problem following a man if that man lives verse 25. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives. But it doesn't stop there. It tells us how to love them. Right. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's when the man who has the responsibility to lead, if he will love, not just an emotion, love is primarily a relationship. And when that relationship is right, then the emotions come. One of the reasons why so many men don't feel all that lovey-dovey is because they don't have, from their side and perspective, the relationship that they need to have with their wife. And what did Christ do? He loved the church and gave himself for it. My favorite illustration on this one, you may remember me sharing it in earlier years. I would work on the car to save a little money, change the oil, change the spark plugs. I tried changing the brakes one time. I got them changed, but I defaulted on that for another time, okay? And I needed a tool. Where I lived, it was only a mile and a half at the most, probably just a mile, to the Napa Auto Parts store where they were generous to give me an account. The lady that owned the store and ran it with her husband, when she said, would you like an account? I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, you can do that? She said, I own the place. And so the nice thing is when I needed a tool, if I didn't have, as I usually did in those days, the cash in my pocket, I could go in there and defer for however many days until I knew the bill would come. So I go get the tool. And then one time we were talking. You know the kind of talks, men, okay? What I hear is, Roger, I'd like to say something. Now when you hear that, you know, you better brace yourself. And so I said, well, what is it? And she said, how come when you need a tool, you just go buy it? Well, I'm saving us money by changing the brakes myself. I understand that. I realize that. And I appreciate what you do, because I know it's out of your realm and area and what you do to try and save money. And she said, you know, for about 2 years, I've been waiting for a mixer. Her hand mixer had broken. For about 2 years, I've been waiting for a mixer, which means she was beating it by hand or with the antique ones like you see in the store, you know. And boy, makes you feel about that tall. And it ought to. It ought to. Now, I'm saying this because if, I guess there's a couple things. Number one, so you can understand what it means to love as even as Christ gave himself. Now, we're not going to have to give ourselves, I don't expect, though I'd hope that any one of us, if it were necessary, would defend our wife or protect our wife to the point that we'd lose our life. But that's not likely the case. We're going to face a mixer situation a lot quicker. And so it would be better, would have been better in that case for me to go to somebody, and I had somebody's in the church, to go to somebody and say, can I borrow thus and such? I don't remember what the tool was anymore. Can I borrow thus and such? They loaned it to me. And then I could have taken the money that I spent on a couple of tools and bought her that mixer. But I wouldn't have had any inconvenience myself, wouldn't I? Now, the way we're supposed to love our wives is like Christ loved them and gave himself. And that's what we're expected to do. And you younger men, I hope you'll realize that. I hope you'll learn that and you work together. If you're fortunate to have a wife like I have, It would not have all surprised me if I'd have said, well, I need to get a tool, but I'm going to go see Jack and see if I can borrow it from him. Well, he's not home. They went away this weekend. Oh, shoot. I forgot that. Well, I'll think about who else. It would not have surprised me if she'd have said, look, I'll wait another couple weeks. Go get the tool you need. That's often the way it works. But when we don't initiate the way it should work, we won't get that kind of response and reaction. And so, wives, and I heard this one on verse 24, wives being subject unto your husbands and submit. I like the way I heard one preacher say it one time. What that means is wife, duck, so that God can deal directly with your husband. Okay, duck. In other words, don't fight him, don't struggle on it, don't take God's place in it and try and get him in order. Just submit, duck, and let God deal with him directly. And I tell you, God will. God will. And then the man needs to be the leader and has responsibility for the church. The continuation, the advancement of the local church has been entrusted by God to men. Pastors must be a man. 1 Timothy, if you'll turn to that, and I know you're familiar with this. I don't believe that I'm telling you something you've never heard. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. If God has been working in a man's heart, giving him what I'm going to call an interest in the ministry. If God has been working on a man's heart, making him to be open to the idea of being in ministry. Okay, that's what I believe it means. A man desires the office. He can come to a point where that man could think to himself, well, you know, I believe that I could be a pastor. I believe that God would have me go to, and then names the country that God has burdened him for in the realm of becoming a missionary. If a man desires the office of a bishop. You see, we'd be prone to think that, no, you shouldn't desire it. We get the idea that somehow, in order to qualify, you have to go be dragged in to be a pastor, dragged in kicking and fighting against it. And finally, I yielded to God's will. Oh, and we're so glad. But the guy who steps up and says, you know, I wanted to be a pastor. Oh, he wanted to be a pastor. He's seeking for some prominence. No, maybe he just fills verse 1. He desires the office of a bishop because of the manner in which God has been working in his life and leading him. Okay? And so, true saying, for man desire the... what's that? Now, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What's the eighth word? The eighth word. What's the eighth word? Oh, did I count wrong? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Nope. Nope. The eighth word.
Man.
Yeah. Man. If a man desire the office of a bishop. Oh, well, he, you know, that was back in that day. Today it could be woman. No. God's word is set and fixed. And if a man desire the office of a bishop, now he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Well, now how in the world is a woman going to be the husband of one wife? Oh, we fixed that today, haven't we? Yeah, we fixed that today. We've taken that sin and distorted it so it could fulfill this verse. But it's a distortion and it doesn't fulfill it.
That's right.
A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant. And you know, I think a lot of in denominations and organizations where they have women pastors, I don't question their sincerity. I don't question their desire to serve God and to please God. Okay, I don't see them with great big horns, but they just are out of place because the Bible says if a man desire the office of a bishop, and if a man, the husband of one wife, okay, and you were, I'm not going to go into discussing the husband of one wife. What's that mean? One at a time or just one at any time? Okay, my own opinion is one at any time. And, and if a man and a woman end up getting divorced, that happens. It's sad, it's tragic, and they need to get their lives together so they can continue to serve God. But I don't believe he can do it in the capacity of a pastor. All right, let's move along. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Man, this guy... he has to, say he ought to meet all of these. Yep, vigilant. If he gets around to it sometime, we'll get her done. No, we need to be vigilant and get it done when it needs to be done. Sober, serious, okay, of a serious mind. Just like, well, you look a little sober today. Not meaning that you aren't drunk, but, you look a little sober. You look a little serious today. Of good behavior. Overall in general, this guy needs to behave good. And, we might think, well, yes, obviously that's the way it is because of our pastor, because of the circles that we run in, But boy, even in our own circles, there are some out there that they aren't like this. They aren't of good behavior. pornography and pastors is a problem.
Huge.
Okay? And that's not good behavior. Given to hospitality. If you like to play games, come to this church. Because the hospitality of pastor is going to have you, he's going to have you in. And Sister Ruth Ann will make something that you can eat and a pot of coffee. That'll is worthy of a man in the Navy. and a pot of coffee, and then you'll sit at the table and you'll play board games. Am I not right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Given to hospitality. Now, there's other ways of hospitality, obviously, but a man who just, I'm serving people all day long. I don't have time to do this sort of thing for people. And given to hospitality is one of the requirements. Apt to teach. Needs to be a teacher. Not given to wine. No striker. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Any man who is a pastor in a fundamental church who wants money has got a problem. I mean, up here, This guy isn't too smart. He became a pastor in a fundamental church. If you want to make money as a pastor, you better go to one of the denominations. Okay? But you're not going to find it. You're not in it for the money. You're not in it for the money. You have to be in it for the soul. And no striker can't be hitting the kids. Oh, my lands. Consider, you know, I've often, you know, you have a child that just doesn't behave as they ought to behave. It's not an uncommon thing within our circles to hear a man say, "Well, I know what that kid needs. He just needs good spanking." Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's gotten so many spankings, they don't mean anything. And maybe what he needs is love and direction. Attention. Not attention in the sense of giving him everything he wants, or her, you know, it can be girls too, but directing. And, you know, this is not a lesson on parenting, but, you know, a spanking isn't always. And especially if that man has a tendency to be a striker. He's got the tendency to lash out, not just with his tongue, but with his hands. not greedy of filthy lucre, money. And you see, well, I'm in the fundamental church because I believe it's the right church, but you know, they really ought to pay more. I agree, they ought to pay more. But if you're gonna have that kind of an attitude and try to serve, give it up. Okay, you want to be Christ-like, and then sacrifice, because you're going to have to, as a pastor in a fundamental church, you're going to have an attitude of, "I'm here to serve the Lord." That doesn't take away the fact that if I had an extra $100 a week, it sure would take the strain off. And that doesn't mean that the leaders of the church shouldn't understand that and meet that need. I know all of that, okay? This isn't my first ball game. And so, but you need to have the right attitude, but it needs to be patient. Oh my goodness. A man who is a striker is not patient. A man who is not given to hospitality is usually not patient. I don't have the patience to put up with these people. And so, patient. Not a brawler. I always remember this with Dale's testimony, how he'd be sitting on his porch, and if somebody came by that he didn't like the way they looked, or if he said something to Dale or they said something as they went by, he'd jump off the porch and take into a fight just at the drop of their word. Okay? And not a brawler. You know, apparently, Paul had some situations in which some of the men were brawlers. Now, I've heard of churches where in business meetings, things got so hot and out of hand that actually fist fights broke out. I couldn't imagine it. When I was first told that, I thought they were just teasing, you know? But no, it actually happens. Oh, my lands. I wish they'd take Independent Baptist off of their name when they act like that, because that's not right. No matter, I don't care how you cut it, it's just not right. Not a brawler, not covetous, okay? Oh man, I don't know why I'm not driving a BMW. I'd like an Audi, you know? Oh geez, I'd even take a new Chevy. Guy's desperate, okay? And now if you're a Chevy driver, okay, we'll change it and say he wants a Ford. Now he's desperate again. One that rules well his own house. Here's a key thing. Having his children in subjection with all gravity, all seriousness, having his children in subjection. You don't beat them into subjection. You lead them into subjection. Okay? And it starts as early as you can. Now, if you're starting later, it's going to be harder to bring that subjection about, but it can be done. But it takes a determination, it takes a consistency. Well, I got work to do. Hey, let the work wait. The kid will grow up. Let the work wait. And you want him to clean his room? You might have to go in there and say, all right, Fred, this is how we're going to do it. And you might need to bend over and pick up the toys and show him where to put them, pick up the clothing and how to fold it. All right, now I just did two things. Now you do two things. And show them how to do it. And then, once you know they know how to do it, then you stand in the doorway. All right, I'm going to be watching until you get it done, Fred. You're doing a good job, Fred. But we need to get the whole, I'm tired. Yeah, well, that's all right. If you didn't mess it up so much, you wouldn't take as much to get it back in order. If you put it away each day, then it would help. And so you stand there and you watch. You say, I got things to do. Yeah, but the biggest thing you have to do is to raise that son and to discipline him. Discipline, disciple him, and show him. Okay, well, my dad never did that. That's apparent. That's obvious because of what we have to deal with now with you as the dad. So you help that boy learn. And it's not going to be over with that one time that you got to clean up the room and you had to stand there at the doorway. Because you know that kid's just like you. He came out of you. He's going to try you. He's going to test you. And so, this, I believe, is what it's talking about. Having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So true. So true. There's so many things carried on in the church that are really just an extension of how a man would lead his family. But you see, if we don't have men leading their family, pastors leading their families the way they ought to, it's no wonder that they don't know how to lead the church. And so what they do is look for a quick way to deal with it. They'll go off to some conference. They'll hear somebody at a conference and what they're saying, and that it may be a good thing, but they'll bring it back and they'll try and put it into action in their church. I mean, wholesale, this is what they did in Hammond, and therefore it ought to be done here. Let me tell you, it doesn't work.
That's right.
It doesn't work. And But the church, the pastor must be a man. Deacon must be a man. If we were to continue reading in this third chapter, you would see likewise the deacons must be grave, serious, not double-toned. I really hate this. Somebody that's double-toned. They'll say one thing to you when you're talking to them, and then when you leave, and then they talk to somebody else, they'll say something different. That really rankles me, but you probably figured that one out. Because how in the world can you deal with somebody when you can't depend upon what they say? And then you've got somebody like me that I wish my desire would be, because wishing doesn't get anything done, my desire would be that I had the discernment that my wife has. You know, God knew what he was doing when he gave me her. He knew wherein I was lacking and wherein I needed. She is definitely a completer. Remember, I started last week's lesson with that. The wife is intended to complete the husband. But the point is, if a man's double-tongued, you can't, And I accept people at their word. They tell me something, I accept that as the way it is. I don't read between the lines real good. Now, once it becomes obvious and I realize this guy just used me, now it's going to be a different matter next time.
Yeah.
To my ability, he's not going to misuse me again.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll continue to work with him, but now the parameters are going to be changed.
Right, yeah.
so we know what we got and don't have.
That's right.
And then there can be a situation wherein, now that fellow, you know, if he's a leader in the church in the sense of an officer, his term will end. And it's all together in the confines of the Constitution. Run when possible, when possible, when possible. You run two people for an office. And then so you run somebody else. And you pray. And you pray. Why? Because you don't want a double man, double-minded man. I'm just talking deacons, and that's true, but I believe you can take and apply that to most any office in the church.
Yep.
You don't want double-minded people, double-toned people, they can't be greedy or filthy lucre. They need to hold the mystery of faith and a pure conscience. They can't just have head knowledge. They have to have heart knowledge, not only about salvation, but about Christian living. You need men who love the Lord. And remember, the first deacons were men, what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. I swear there's been times we had men on the ballot that shouldn't have been on the ballot because they weren't men filled with the Holy Ghost. But they were accepted by the congregation. They were looked up to by the congregation. And we had to have somebody. I finally got to the place where I told our people, look, we don't have anybody who's willing or who meets the qualifications. Now, I'm certain there were some sitting out there who thought, were offended. Well, they didn't ask me. Oh, there might be a reason. And so, you know, and I told him, I said, it's better to go without someone in that office for a term and pray that God will bring a man along or a woman along, if it was an election of a woman, okay, bring one along that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's what the Bible tells us those first men were. Now, that should not be something that men rile up about. It ought to be something that men say, all right, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to put myself under the Holy Spirit so that I can have His complete control of my life. And then see if next term God would lead, in our case, God would lead the nominating committee to me. But what happens? The nominating committee doesn't go to him. And now he gets upset. They didn't ask me. He's been praying for the leading of the Spirit. But they didn't ask me. He couldn't understand why the Holy Spirit wouldn't have led the nominating committee to him. But he's been praying for God's will. We use those terms. They sound so spiritual. I'm praying for the Lord's direction. I'm praying for God's will. Well, I want what God wants. You know, we need for our church God to be in control. That all sounds so good. But it rings hollow. In this particular kind of situation, when a man then doesn't get asked, and he gets riled up.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we'll just, there's other churches I can go to. Yep. This isn't the only church. Oh, thank you. Finally, God's answered our prayer. Now, Pastor, I ought to take another week. I'm sorry. Before it began, he said to me, he said, if you don't get it done, take another week.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I really ought not to have notes. Because I have the notes, all right, Father in heaven, thank you today for the Lord Jesus and His great love. Help us as men. Oh God, help us as men to be the men that we ought to be and need to be. And thank you for those who are. Thank you, Father, for those who are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sister Ruth Ann, are you better or are you here? Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.